produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Friday, May 9th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, and this is your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Today we have an extra special stash for you. On Wednesday, the warehouse of Spectrum Labs in Cincinnati, Ohio, was raided by federal agents. It's our top story in our upcoming hemp headlines. We've got an interview with the owner of Spectrum Labs, Matt Stevens, who's here to tell us about the harrowing SWAT-style raid on this purveyor of drug testing and detoxification equipment. What's driving these raids seems to be the personal vendetta against Tommy Chong by the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Pennsylvania, Mary Beth Buchanan. I'm thrilled to tell you that Tommy Chong himself will be joining us to tell how the Spectrum bust is all about sending a message to him regarding the DVD that Spectrum had stored in its warehouse, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, the documentary about Mary Beth Buchanan's crusade to bust and incarcerate Tommy for internet bong sales back in 2003. For our musical break, we're pleased to bring you music from my new friend in Tennessee, Chief Greenbud. We played a live acoustic version of this song, the legalization song, earlier this week. Now the Chief is back with the full studio version for your enjoyment today. Then we wrap things up with Josh Gilbert, the director, producer, writer of AKA Tommy Chong, telling his side of the story about the Spectrum raids and his documentary, followed by the conclusion of our two-part interview with Tommy Chong. Finally, don't forget that every Saturday we're now posting the Normal Weekend Music Stash, where you can get all of the last 10 songs from our daily musical breaks in one podcast, suitable for your weekend party pleasure. If you have a band that would like to be featured on our podcast, please send us an email at stash@normal.org. So sit back and relax with some Labrador and enjoy your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. FBI raids mail-order companies in Cincinnati, sees AKA Tommy Chong DVDs. From WCPO in Cincinnati. Federal agents raided two businesses in northern Kentucky and Claremont County on Wednesday. The businesses in Union Township and Newport specialize in detox products to help customers pass pre-employment drug tests. Spectrum Labs is in the middle of a business district in Newport. On Wednesday morning, neighboring businesses couldn't help but notice police and federal agents arriving at the location. Natasha Luster, a witness, said, quote, "First we saw three Newport cops come up and the DEA and the FBI, and they all ran in with their guns held up, and then they came out and took off their vests," end quote. A rental truck arrived a short time later, and agents began removing dozens of boxes of files. The FBI and DEA are not commenting on the specifics of their investigation. They would only say they were executing search warrants that are currently sealed. No one has been arrested or charged. Now, the part of the story they aren't telling you is that Spectrum Labs is the company that is also distributing the documentary AKA Tommy Chong, about Tommy Chong's ordeal in the prosecution, culminating in his imprisonment for 9 months for selling bongs on the internet.
Yeah, he got a phone call this morning. Mr. Chong, you know, like, I'm a real big fan of yours, but you have to go to jail.
This could be the bust we've been waiting for.
One half of Cheech and Chong is in a whole lot of trouble.
You may have heard of Cheech and Chong, a comedy duo.
Tommy Chong's internet business might go up in smoke. Federal agents raided the actor comedians online.
Tommy Chong was sentenced to 9 months in federal prison for selling bongs on the internet. Finally, the terror alert can go back to green.
In here because I made a stupid joke about the bongs being the only weapons of mass destruction that the Bush administration had found. And next thing I know, I'm looking at 9 months.
Thanks for holding.
They must have called like 20 different times trying to contact us.
We got a bummer email that says, you guys don't ship to me.
Isn't that entrapment? They've asked you to send it? Isn't that entrapment?
Yeah, but okay. This is America.
Okay, yeah.
There's no such thing as entrapment anymore.
She was the national U.S. attorney in charge of the task force on drug paraphernalia. So we knew we had problems.
The gas mask bong. You would put the gas mask on your face and then ingest the marijuana. So you can have your hands free.
No, man, it's so fucking weird getting busted for bongs.
Really?
They really got me by surprise with that one. When they raided my house, man, I thought they were looking for dope. Anyway, he said, do you have any narcotics in your house? Of course, I'm Tommy Chong.
The force behind that prosecution was the United States attorney, appointed by George W. Bush to the Western District of Pennsylvania, Mary Beth Buchanan. So, care to guess which U.S. attorney is behind this raid of Spectrum Labs and the seizure of the movie that paints Mary Beth Buchanan in an unflattering light? District Attorney Mary Beth Buchanan continues targeting Tommy Chong, raiding his Spectrum Labs warehouse and confiscating DVDs. Moments ago, Buchanan's task force raided a warehouse where Chong was storing DVD copies of his documentary, AKA Tommy Chong, a film chronicling Chong's 2005 arrest by Buchanan for selling bongs over state lines. D.A. Buchanan has a reputation for chasing national headlines instead of criminals and has received much media attention for her prosecution of Tommy Chong. In a hastily written description of the raid, the director of the documentary, Josh Gilbert, told Normal in an email, "Newsflash! 30 fully armed SWAT team commandos raided the Cincinnati office and held 5 overweight middle-aged women hostage while they emptied out their warehouse of piss-testing agents, fake penises, the Wizinator, fake pee, and a DVD about the feds busting Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong for selling bongs over the internet, all starring the same justice-serving federal prosecutor, Mary Beth Buchanan." Stay tuned for later on here in the Stash, where we'll be interviewing Josh Gilbert, the director, Tommy Chong, the star, and the owner of Spectrum Labs. 30th Anniversary of Federal Medical Marijuana. From the Marijuana Policy Project. A little-known federal government program that supplies medical marijuana to a handful of patients marks its 30th anniversary tomorrow. The Federal Medical Marijuana Program, referred to as a Compassionate Investigational New Drug Program, resulted from a lawsuit filed by glaucoma patient Robert Randall, who successfully showed that his use of marijuana was a medical necessity. The program slowly grew for over a dozen years. In the wake of a flood of new applications from patients battling AIDS, who found that marijuana boosted their appetites and relieved the nausea often caused by anti-HIV drugs, the George H.W. Bush administration closed it to new applicants in March of 1992, but continued supplying federal marijuana to those already receiving it. 4 of those patients survive today. Rob Campia, the executive director of the Marijuana Policy Project, said, quote, "Most Americans would be shocked to know that the federal government supplies medical marijuana to patients while claiming that marijuana is a harmful drug with no medical value. If federal officials believe their own statements, they're knowingly poisoning 4 innocent people. But in fact, they know better. The 4 remaining patients in the federal program have benefited from their medical marijuana use. Groups like the American College of Physicians and the American Public Health Association have said that marijuana is a safe and effective medicine, and as a result, we must change the federal laws that prohibit medical marijuana, end quote. Officially, the Compassionate Investigative New Drugs Program is a research program. Participants were required to sign a consent document calling the program a study. Yet the federal government has never studied the patients in the study. In fact, the only study ever published of these patients was privately financed and conducted. May 10th marks the 30th anniversary of federal hypocrisy and dishonesty about medical marijuana, Campia said. When future historians see how much effort our government made to avoid learning that marijuana is a safe and effective medicine, they'll shake their heads in disbelief. Now, I've had the privilege of meeting two of the remaining patients, Irv Rosenfeld from Boca Raton, Florida, and LV Musica right here in Oregon. The marijuana grown for them is harvested at the one legal federal garden at the University of Mississippi. It is some very poor marijuana. The government harvests the whole plant, stems, seeds, and all, grinding it up and using it in 300 marijuana joints sent in a big tin once a month. It is not in the government's interest, after all, to provide well-groomed, well-bred, more potent forms of marijuana. Those strains might show even more therapeutic value and thereby undercut the government's arguments about marijuana's danger. Minister of Marijuana says it's his religion to use pot. From WFTV, Orlando, Florida. A self-proclaimed minister of marijuana says pot is his religion and he has every right to use it. Cops disagree and busted him while pulling 100 plants out of his house. Stephen Swalick doesn't use terms like pot or even marijuana. Those terms appeared to upset him during a jailhouse interview.
It is with that invocation of my constitutional rights, which I refuse to waive, and the First Amendment being my right to worship as I see fit in this country, and that is the purpose of religious freedom. Florida itself recognizes these mandates and religious freedom. Because Florida is so culturally diverse in the races and the people that are here, and it's not against the law to throw the chicken bones out, read your future, gut the entrails, read your future, read your palm or fortune telling. Those are all religious freedom. That's all spirituality. Many court cases go all the way back to Harry Houdini regarding this aspect. But you have the right to use an otherwise illegal sacrament in a religious practice if it's mandated within your religion. You have to be sincere, legit, and have the federal mandate, and you do not prostitute the Holy Sacrament by selling it to someone out of the church.
You weren't selling that.
Sir, we do not use that word. Please forgive me, and I apologize for you. The word is cannabis. It's the Holy Sacrament recognized by the Bible. The original Aramaic and Hebrew Bible has been translated correctly back in 1935, many years before I was born.
So and you don't sell the cannabis?
No, sir, we do not sell. Okay? I have a ministry in which I'm able to use the sacrament only as a priest. I'm only subject to federal laws as a priest, and it has to be mandated within the religion, which it is. The Ethiopian Zion Coptics have the right to use ganja in their religious practice. North American Indians have the right to use peyote in their religious practice. Roger Christie and some other political activists have a federal mandate to use the religious sacrament in the holy anointing oil, and we have the right to have a garden.
He admitted to using cannabis and even growing it, but says it was for his religion, and he wanted to only be addressed as the Reverend. The 56-year-old Swalick claims he has practiced a religious belief that requires the use of cannabis since he was 15 years old. He claims to be an ordained minister. He calls his home a sanctuary of sorts for a religion called the Hawaiian Cannabis Ministries. The Palm Bay, Florida Police Department SWAT team raided Swalick's home Wednesday afternoon, seizing 107 plants, along with all sorts of equipment used to grow and harvest them. Police say it would be worth $100,000 on the streets. Swalick said it wasn't being sold, but rather grown for religious ceremonies. Swalick now faces felony drug charges, which he believes will eventually be cleared under constitutional religious protections. Gee, doesn't the very first page of the Christian Bible say, quote, "And God said,
Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat.
End quote. There are many references to cannabis, or cannabosum in the original Hebrew, as the main ingredient in the anointing oil used by Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a religious person myself. I think you don't need God's permission to smoke herb. I believe it is a secular constitutional privacy issue. But I am a huge supporter of First Amendment rights to practice the religion of your choosing. Swalick notes the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, signed into law by President Clinton in 1993. It has been used to protect the rights of sincere religious practitioners to use ayahuasca tea and peyote, both strong hallucinogens that are considered illegal drugs. That same act that should protect religious use of cannabis, yet the courts will not let such a case go to trial and set that precedent. Eddie Lepp was set free after feds raided his garden and confiscated over 32,000 plants. They were very intent on locking him up and throwing away the key. But once he raised a defense using the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, they suddenly backed down and dropped the charges based on technicalities with the search warrant.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Teen marijuana use linked to later illness, from the Washington Post.
Teenagers who smoke marijuana put themselves at risk for future mental illness and higher rates of depression, according to a report to be released today by the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy. Although fewer teens overall are smoking marijuana, the report said, there is growing concern that those who do, particularly those who view the drug as a way to cope with depression, do not understand its consequences. It is also not clear whether their parents, who might have indulged when they were younger, understand the risks, experts say. The report, whose release coincides with the start of Mental Health Awareness Month, said studies show links between marijuana use and risk of mental illness later in life, and that use could increase the risk by as much as 40%. Teenage girls who smoke marijuana are particularly at risk, the report said. It found that teen girls who smoke marijuana daily are more likely to develop depression than those who do not. The report also found that teenagers who smoke marijuana at least once a month are three times more likely to have suicidal thoughts than non-users. It said that even though the percentage of teens who are depressed is equal to the percentage of adults who say they are depressed, teenagers are more likely to seek solace in marijuana or other illicit drugs. John P. Walters, director of the White House office, said, quote, significant numbers of teenagers are self-medicating. They're turning to marijuana to reduce symptoms of depression, and the depression is getting worse, end quote. Walters said advances in technology allow researchers to better understand the effect drugs such as marijuana have on brain function. The research being done today, quote, is breaking new ground in showing the role marijuana use is playing in depression, he said. The report's conclusions mirror many of the findings of a 2005 survey of Fairfax County youth. According to that study, Hispanic, Asian, and African American teens reported higher percentages of depression than their white counterparts. Contributing to the risk is the higher potency of marijuana being distributed today compared with what was available in the 1970s when federal officials began analyzing the drug. A study done last year by researchers at the University of Mississippi found that, since the 1980s, the potency has doubled. Walters said that despite a drop in usage among teenagers, those who are using are becoming more dependent on it. About 60% of first-time users are under the age of 18. Walters said, quote, we forget because we think of marijuana as something that's the least dangerous of illicit drugs, but far more teens are in treatment for dependency on marijuana than alcohol, end quote.
If you smoke the reefers, it'll make you insane. Who would have thought we'd get a whole new round of marijuana scaremongering just in time for Mental Health Awareness Month? I'm going to let Dr. Earlywine tear into this new report next Wednesday, but initially, I would have to ask these few questions about the study. This report ignores so many of the factors that lead to teen depression. Suppose a kid is depressed and he smokes some pot. Then he's subject to the stigma of being a pothead. Maybe he gets busted and loses college money,
or a job, or gets grounded, or gets sent to jail or to rehab. Doesn't that all sound pretty depressing to you? In other words, did anyone think to control for the effects of the prohibition of pot on someone's depression? As for that 40% more likely to develop mental illness point, could it be that people at higher risk for mental illness tend to use marijuana? And could you show me, please, where rates of mental illness have risen and fallen along with the rates of marijuana use? I mean, clearly, there should have been some massive spike in mental illness after the summer of love, right? No. The rates of mental illness do not seem to fluctuate with the rates of marijuana use. Oh, minority kids are more depressed than white kids? While I believe it, what does that have to do with marijuana? At least they said that marijuana is only twice as potent and not 30 times more potent like they say in the UK. But again, they misunderstand the effect of potency on the experience. More potent marijuana doesn't cause a more harmful high. It just gets you to the same high by smoking less of it. Finally, more kids are in treatment for marijuana than ever before, because when we catch them with marijuana, we force them into treatment. When you factor out the people forced by the criminal justice system to attend rehab for marijuana, the numbers of self-referred treatment-seeking marijuana abusers is quite small.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Well, we're speaking now with Matt Stevens, who's the marketing manager of Spectrum Labs, who, of course, in our main story today, we're talking about the bust that happened out there on Wednesday. And Matt, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you.
Give our listeners just a little bit of a breakdown of exactly what occurred on Wednesday.
Well, exactly what occurred, we don't know. We can only guess from the very limited information we have. The things that we do know is we released our documentary, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, 8 weeks ago, so it probably took a little bit of time to cycle back to the powers to be. But in the documentary, there's a 10-minute spiel on a young lady by the name of Mary Jo Buchanan, which is the head attorney general for the Western District of Pennsylvania. And her notoriety has been, she's the individual that prosecuted Tommy Chong, busted him, and sent him to the pokey. And in the documentary, we point out that she's a very, very unique individual. There are planes being smashed into the ground in her jurisdiction with terrorists and innocent Americans on it, and yet she's choosing to overlook that and go after Tommy Chong. And it just seems odd, very, very odd that, you know, you got terrorists in your back door, but you're going after Tommy Chong clear out on the West Coast. Yeah. So the agents show up Wednesday morning in full bulletproof vest, automatic weapons, and they stormtroop the place. There's about 28 of them. And, you know, we got a medium-sized office. And the only thing in here was 5 middle-aged Miss Western women. So it's not like they need to come in charging with gun draws. They could have sent Mr. Rogers with a squirt gun in and said, hey, this is the information I need. But, you know, as Tommy Chong points out in A.K.A. Tommy Chong, the show of force is part of the image they're trying to come across. Now, Tommy Chong one-upped us because he at least got Hummers and helicopters on his raid. But despite that, it was scary for the people here. And, you know, it's just a mind-numbing experience. There's a lot of things that everybody learned. And part of it is that these FBI agents are allowed to lie to you. All right? There were no arrests. There were no indictments. So they were here on a fact-finding mission. What fact, we don't know. But because of this, they knew that they have about 30 to maybe 90 minutes. The agents have about 90 minutes to rough people up before the attorneys put a halt to it. In that 90 minutes is where the mayhem happens, is they split up the five girls that were here, take them separate ways, and tell them, if you don't tell us the truth, you're going to jail. Now, they're not allowed to take them to jail because there's been no arrest and no indictments. They did not inform them. All the answers they offered are voluntary. Basically, it was shine the light in their face, scare the hell out of them, and spill the beans. And, you know, we sell synthetic urine for people to pass nicotine tests. So it didn't matter how many times they asked them the questions, the answer is still the same. Dude, we sell synthetic urine. It says it all over our website. There's nothing we're trying to hide. And, you know, and there is no federal regulation against it, nor has there ever been. And it got so demeaning that our dock worker here, so, you know, he's a dock worker, lower man on the totem pole. They were threatening to take custody. He's a single dad. They were threatening to take custody of his children if he did not tell them the truth and all of the truth.
And what is this truth that they were trying to get out? Like you said, I mean, you've been operating legally for years. There's no law against synthetic urine. What is the truth they were looking for?
And that's why I said, I can only tell you what we know.
Yeah.
And that is the million-dollar question. Now, there are, I think, something like 50 attorney generals in the United States for each of the federal districts. All right, and we're in Cincinnati, so the three closest are Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Well, it seems like if we were doing something wrong, we would be, you know, followed up on by the local attorney general. But no, it came from the Western District of Pennsylvania, which is the exact same lady that busted Tommy Chong exactly 8 weeks after our video came out.
Hmm.
And I got to ask you, Russ, do you think that's a coincidence?
I don't believe in coincidences like that.
I hear you.
So they seized the Tommy Chong videos, the AKA Tommy Chong. Did they seize any of your other products?
They took a couple of every product we had, emptied out all the paper files we had, and backed up all the computers, and that pretty much took them a day and a half.
Hmm. So has this put a serious dent in your business?
You know, it's too early to tell. It theoretically could, you know, after talking to people that are experts in this field, basically, if they can't find a law to arrest you under and they don't approve of what you're doing, they simply try to wear you down economically and emotionally. And this is the very first stages of that game.
Well, looks like a little bit of political headhunting, a little personal vendetta from Mary Beth Buchanan out there in Pennsylvania. We'll follow up on this on the Daily Audio Stash and keep everyone informed about this. And I want to remind everyone to, you know, support these people that are standing up for our rights out here. Support the people at Spectrum Labs. Support the AKA Tommy Chong video. Your dollars can count here. Matt Stevens, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash. And make sure you get in touch with us anytime if there's any breaking developments in this case.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Matt. We're very, very pleased to be sitting here and talking with Tommy Chong, of course, the famous half of Cheech and Chong. And we've got a breaking story that just took place out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And we brought Tommy here to talk a little bit about it. So, Tommy, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Well, the situation here is the bust of Spectrum Labs. Spectrum Labs, of course, is one of these companies that makes drug testing and detoxification products like the Wizinator and other sorts of things like that. But how does this bust fit in with you?
Well, what they did when the feds came in to Spectrum Labs, you know, the SWAT teams, you know, they held five middle-aged ladies that worked there hostage for hours. In fact, one soiled her pants while they were waiting. They wouldn't let her go to the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
And then then the only thing they took, or at least as far as I know, they took were the DVDs that Spectrum Labs were holding, the AKA Tommy Chong documentary.
Now, this documentary, AKA Tommy Chong, and of course people can get a copy of it at the website, akatommychong.com. This chronicles your case with Operation Pipe Dreams, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was the story of the whole Operation Pipe Dreams bust, you know, before I went in jail, during the time in jail, and then after.
So this bust was, you know, taking place from the Western District, Pennsylvania, and a certain prosecutor named Mary Beth Buchanan. And how did they manage to bust you for this situation?
Well, you mean the original bust?
Yeah.
Well, what it was, it wasn't. It was my son's company. My son Paris had a glass company, and they were shipping bongs, you know, to different areas across America. And we're paying our taxes, and, you know, we're totally legitimate, you know. And there's a law that, a little-known law that Joseph Biden, by the way, put in. It was a paraphernalia law that made it illegal to ship any kind of paraphernalia, drug paraphernalia, across the state line. And so they used that law to take down my son's company. And the way they did it, they had to do an undercover head shop in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. And then we wouldn't send it to them, you know, because we knew better. But they persisted, and then I think they put an undercover agent into our shop, and then they finally had their shipment. And the feds told me later it was just in time, you know, they're running out of time. They spent $12 million in trapping us to send a bong to Pennsylvania. And so the film, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, is about that bust. And the prosecutor was a lady named Mary Beth Buchanan. And she headed the task force, you know, and she prosecuted me personally when I went to, first of all, I pled guilty, and then they sentenced me on 9/11, 03. You know, a little message there. And then they had the trial or the sentencing in a big courtroom. So, you know, they were expecting a lot of protesters, but only one guy showed up with a little cardboard free marijuana sign, and that was it. So I went to jail for 9 months, but we filmed it all. And then she had the judge stipulate that I cannot profit from my crime. In other words, I would not be able to make a film or do anything like that about the crime. But, you know, my friend Josh Gilbert made it. And so him and Matt Stevens, they were distributing it. And then the cops just recently, 2 days ago, raided the Spectrum Labs and confiscated the film.
Now, Josh Gilbert is the director of the film, and Matt Stevens is the owner of Spectrum Labs out there. And I got some emails from them talking about the bust and how everyone was quite shocked. So is there any indication from the federal authorities here as to the reasoning behind the bust? Was it specifically to get the DVDs, or are they trying to cloak this in the whole, you know, busting him for the Wizenators?
Well, there again, you know, Matt Stevens has been operating openly for many, many years. Since the 90s, you know, and so he's been in daily contact with the local authorities, and so he was totally in compliance with the law. I think it was just a cheap way for the government, namely Mary Beth Buchanan, to try to hurt us financially, you know. Have to have Matt answer, you know, whatever indictment they hand down. But it was just a very thinly disguised attempt to stop us from, or at least to hinder us, selling the DVDs, you know, the way she, you know, the way they confiscated the stock. This is what they're doing, by the way, to the medical marijuana people around the country. The feds are coming in and they're raiding the place like bandits. And they take the people's product and the money, whatever cash they can get, and whatever else they can lay their hands on, and then they leave. And then they don't really prosecute. They just say it's ongoing investigation. And they got that little loophole in their investigation thing, you know, where they can take anything and seal it, and then seal indictment, and then they don't have to tell you anything or give you any reason, and it can go on forever, and then they can quietly drop it if they feel that there's not enough evidence, and you're out all that money. So that's what's going on.
Right. I was speaking to a medical marijuana attorney in Seattle, Washington, just yesterday, Douglas Hyatt. He was the man who defended that patient up in Washington who died waiting for a liver transplant. They wouldn't give him a liver because he was on medical marijuana. And one of his statements that he says among criminal defense attorneys is that the process is the punishment. The getting you in the criminal justice system, even if you're found innocent, just taking your time and taking your money to go through all these court cases, that is the punishment.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the total abuse of the system.
Yeah, now this Mary Beth Buchanan, this prosecutor, this U.S. attorney, so she was behind the Operation Pipe Dreams and she was behind the Spectrum Labs bust, right?
Yes.
So does she figure prominently in the movie, a.k.a. Tommy Chong?
Yes, she does. She does. There's a very, she gets the biggest laugh in the movie.
Oh, wow. So politically motivated, to say the least, you would think here.
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, not so much politically, but personally motivated.
Hmm.
You know, because she doesn't have a career. You know, as soon as Bush is gone, I'm quite sure she'll be facing criminal indictments herself, because she was the one that was in those lawyers being fired for no reason.
Yeah, well, we definitely can hope for that. And
oh,
we'll...
yeah, there's a lot of the chickens are coming home to roost, as they say.
Yeah, and this is just one of many documentaries that are out recently. American Drug War is another one that just came out, and it seems like more and more people are getting the truth about the drug war in general and about marijuana in particular. And the government now, it looks like that they're just, you know, reduced to some desperate, you know, last measures to try to enforce their own propaganda.
Well, yeah, exactly. To me, it's like the thrashing of the dinosaur tails as they sink into the stinkhole, you know. they're going to be extinct, and this is what happens. And see, whenever they do that, like for instance the documentary, you know, the documentary was doing okay, but now it's going to go through the roof, you know, for sales, because people, this is the documentary that the government doesn't want you to see.
Well, I guess it's kind of apropos, you know, when you take a look at the way the government has persecuted this war on drugs, where we've got, you know, triple the heroin and double the cocaine on our streets. You know, they try to prohibit something, it just makes people want more of it.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
All right, Tommy, we're going to get Josh Gilbert in here to talk a little bit about the movie as well right after this short break. So hang on, more with Tommy Chong and Josh Gilbert coming up after these messages.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, it's just about time for the weekend, fellow stashers, and here we are at our musical break. You know, we were so proud to be standing next to some of our fellow cannabis warriors in the Global Marijuana March last weekend. In our beautiful city here of Portland, Oregon, we got to enjoy music from today's artist, Chief Greenbud. He entertained the crowd with his music and personality. A talented country and folk artist, he is the whole package, a one-man guitar band with a message and a mission. Today's track, the Legalization Song, is a poignant anthem with a simple question. What Do We Do About Legalization? A comedian at heart, Chief Greenbud calls Nashville, Tennessee his home, but travels freely between festivals, events, biker rallies, and fairs, leaving behind smiles and friends. We owe a lot to the comedians who push acceptance of cannabis culture into mainstream society, using laughter as their weapon of choice. Hail to the Chief! You can visit Chief Greenbud's MySpace page at myspace.com/CGB to hear more of his music and buy his CD. And of course, you can get a download of this song, the MP3, from our website at stash.normal.org. This is Chief Greenbud with the Legalization Song.
I have a problem. Seems I've hit a little drought. And I wonder what the chances are that you could help me out. A couple grams of pot would hit the spot, 'cause that's what I'm about. Without weed, I'm like Georgia without peaches. Without weed, I'm California without beaches. I never should leave Tennessee without weed. It was tricky, but that boy, he did me right. His bud was sweet and sticky and a little hard to light. That first hit sure made me cough, got me off, and I knew that I was high. 'Cause without weed, I'm Jimmy Buffett without parrots. Without weed, I'm Bugs Bunny without carrots. I never should leave Tennessee without weed. I need kind but sweet aroma to put me back into my coma. Without weed, I'm Willie Nelson without doobies. Without weed, I'm Dolly Parton without boobies. And I never will leave Tennessee without weed. Without weed. Without
it's time to play Pass the Stash, where you can win cool prizes from Normal.
All right, don't forget, we're continuing our Pass the Stash contest. You could win a copy of the new DVD from King Spade, Throw Your Spades Up, live at the Key Club. All I need from you is a simple email with two things. Number one, a picture from your global marijuana march, preferably of a large crowd shot. And number two, your favorite chant at the Global Marijuana March. Send them in by email to stash@normal.org. We'll publish the best ones, and you can remain anonymous. And then we'll be sending your DVD of King Spade, Throw Your Spades Up, live at the Key Club, from Suburban Noise Records artist King Spade, Richter, and D-Loc.
Hello, I'm Casper Leach, host of Time for Hemp.
Did you know that police arrested a record 829,625 people in the United States for marijuana violations in 2006? Marijuana arrests now comprise nearly 44% of all drug arrests in the United States. Of those charged with marijuana violations, approximately 89% were charged with possession only. The total number of marijuana arrests in the United States for 2006 far exceeded the total number of arrests for all violent crimes combined. Enforcing marijuana prohibition costs taxpayers between $10 and $12 billion annually and has led to the arrest of nearly 20 million Americans. We must end this war on drugs. With your help, we can. Please join LEAP, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending this civil war. You can do so by going to leap.cc.
All right, now following up on our interview with Tommy Chong, we're speaking now with Josh Gilbert, who's the director, producer, and writer of the movie, a.k.a. Tommy Chong, that chronicles the before, during, and after of Tommy Chong's arrest and bust and incarceration for selling bongs over the Internet. So, Josh, thank you for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So, in the wake of this Spectrum Labs bust, it looks like the DEA has gone in and seized copies of your AKA Tommy Chong movie, your video. What is this going to do as far as the distribution of the film? Is this going to put a serious dent in being able to get the movie to the people?
Nah, because, you know, I mean, what's happening right now in distribution, you know, everything's becoming digital, you know. So it's not like in 1920 they went in and they, you know, that they'd stolen the master of a film at, you know, at Paramount out of the vault. You know, I mean, how do you regenerate that? Or even if it was a copy, you'd have to strike another print. I mean, we have a digital file. We make more discs.
Yeah, just putting out more. So
we get them out there, and really it's about the intimidation. When I called up Matt and I said, I called up Spectrum and I, you know, to find out what was going on. You know, because we're struggling. We're trying to get a film out there, and we, you know, Tommy and I have in Toronto. We were offered a very lucrative, at least on paper, distribution offer. You know, but when Tommy and I discussed the possibility of taking that, you know, potentially, or actually, it was a deal that wasn't going to put us in the black, and it was going to control all aspects of distribution. So Tommy and I had this idea. We chose the road less traveled, and you know, and antics ensued, you know, and cutting to the here and now. We had to climb a lot of mountains to get here, and you know, litigation, you know, deals that came and were killed. There was a deal at VH1. It was supposed to go out on VH1 and Sundance primetime. You know, prior to that, a theatrical from Think Film. So there were a lot of possibilities for the project, but we insisted initially, and that's what defined where we are now, we insisted on a grassroots effort to get it out there and to really speak to the base and to speak to the core audience and try to get the film to resonate with those people first and, you know, and let it grow from there. It's taken this long and it's, you know, nothing's going to stop us. Like, I love the fact that Tommy's come up with this nickname, Mary Beth Loose Cannon.
Yeah.
I think Mary Beth Loose Cannon is just a classic Cheech and Chong character.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like Sergeant Stadenko, right?
It's better than Sergeant Stadenko. I mean, Tommy based Stadenko on an actual guy, Stadenko, this dopey cop from Vancouver who's became a Mountie, you know, and was dumb as a doorknob. And, you know, Tommy actually based Stadenko on Stadenko and then kept in touch with him. The guy never lived it down. It really pissed him off, apparently, Stadenko. Poor Stadenko. But Mary Beth Loose Cannon, you know, she's been created.
So this is just a personally motivated vendetta, then, it seems, by this Mary Beth Buchanan. She was the one behind busting Tommy for the Operation Pipe Dreams. Now she's trying to round up all the DVD copies there, and it seems more like, you know, they know that they can't stop the movie. Like you said, it's digital. So this is just an intimidation tactic and a way to force you guys to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're always making money one way or the other. I mean, they run like a business.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Mary Beth, you know, when she did the raid, you know, big hay was made out of the fact that she spent $12 million, but, you know, I'm sure she seized, you know, many times more than that.
Yeah.
And forfeiture, asset forfeiture, you know, as we know.
Yeah.
So she's always working an angle one way. There's some reason behind it that, you know, is gonna, but ultimately there is that dumb first, you know, smack, you know, impression of intimidation. And are we next and who's next and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like Tommy says in the film, you know, people ask me what it's like in jail, and I always tell them, you know, you'll find out. Because your day will come. You know, at this rate, everyone's going to be in jail soon. You know,
yeah.
For some dumb victimless crime.
Yeah, I was checking out some of the websites around this and trying to get some of the news. And it was on the USA Today website on a marijuana story, I think it was, and they had busted somebody. And one of the commenters on the website had said, good, lock up all illegal drug users. And I'm thinking, you know, there's 35 million people using drugs at any time during the year. That's a whole lot of prisons, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Right. And illegal is, the operative. I mean, you know, they should do a little public service announcement brought to you by GlaxoSmithKline, you know, the makers of the drug tests themselves, rating Urine Luck, you know, rating
yeah.
Spectrum Labs. I mean, legal drugs because pharmaceutical companies are making a gazillion dollars selling them and controlling that market. And how do you control the market for weed, you know?
Kind of hard to do when everybody can grow their own.
Exactly. Buy my DVD, buy my DVD, buy my DVD, buy our DVD.
It was kind of a struggle getting the movie out, but now that they're telling people to not see it or trying to bust us.
Yeah, I mean, they made it hard, you know, it was hard, but, you know, you go against convention and if you say no to the system, wherever that system happens to be in our case.
Well, we'll promote the movie as much as we can here at the Daily Audio Stash. We want everyone to go out there and get your copy of AKA Tommy Chong. It's out on the web at akatommychong.com. It's just one of many marijuana movies that are using this grassroots viral marketing campaign. I mean, we've talked about Super High Me and Totally Baked and American Drug War and a few of these other movies. And this is how you feed your mind, folks. You got to get these movies. Not only watch them for yourself, but host a party and show them to your friends. It only takes a little while. It's painless. It's easy to do. And the more information that's out there and the more people know the truth, the inevitability of ending adult marijuana prohibition is just around the corner.
That segue, I don't buy it.
Okay.
Because I think everybody's got a message that they need to get out there, but I don't think you can lump all the movies together like that.
The entertainment versus
yeah,
the documentaries.
I mean, I think there's a new. I don't know. I think that's mixed. It's like mixing a metaphor. I don't mean to be contentious, but
No. Be contentious. This is freedom of speech, baby. This is what we're all
right,
about.
Exactly. I mean, well, I don't mean to, you know, just step on your brilliant little bird of an idea, but you know, I don't want to be compared to Super Jaime. It just pisses me off. As a documentary filmmaker, it irritates me.
Okay.
Because Doug Benson, who I know and appreciate to for his comedy, and who I know through Tommy, you know, from doing the marijuana logs, you know, he just made a parody of a pre-existing, you know, concept, Supersize Me, which
right.
is Morgan Spurlock's, you know, heartfelt, best made effort, you know, to tell a story. And he took that concept and then basically created a widget that he could market. And I guess actually in fairness to him, I should really know more about the film before I say anything about it. But I just think Tommy being targeted by the federal government for selling bongs so he could do the perp walk for some rabid prosecutor, you know, is something that people need to see because they need to see the abuse of this government in action and in fact. And as presented in this documentary, because you see Tommy going through it, he went through it. And this same prosecutor who just raided the warehouse that's been selling the DVD, it's like anything associated with Tommy ends up getting crushed. Anything that approaches him becomes a casualty, you know, in this rabid group within the government's effort to squash the First Amendment, you know, like you say, freedom of speech. But I guess anything Tommy related is not freedom of speech.
Well, we'll do what we can to keep the voices out there and keep people seeing these important documentaries. And by no means was I meaning to compare the two. It's just I still think though that, you know, whether it's a humor or whether it's serious, the more that we get the marijuana out there in the popular culture and the truth about it being exposed to people, I always just think that's a good thing myself.
All right. right. I hear you.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Josh Gilbert, the director, producer, and writer of AKA Tommy Chong. Thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, let's go back to California, where Tommy Chong has been graciously waiting for us to return to the interview. Now, just looking to some more happy news here in the land of Tommy Chong, what is going on for you career-wise right now? I know you're out performing your stand-up. Are there any movies coming up in the future or more television appearances?
Well, we're just clipping along, you know, doing we got a lot of gigs, you know, doing stand-up. I've been working on I'm the voice and the main character of a comic strip called Master Kush, K-U-S-H.
Okay.
And you can go on masterkush.com and check it out.
We're
in the process of working on a feature film deal with the animated character.
Well, that sounds good. And of
Master
course.
Kush and Sister Sativa.
Okay, very good. Very good. Yeah. And one of the questions that always has to get asked here, and it's been a long-standing rumor, as to whether or not there'd be any future reunions of the Cheech and Chong comedy team, perhaps in a movie.
Well, we're talking again. That's one good thing. We had a 420 reunion at a movie house when they screened Up in Smoke.
Oh, good.
And Cheech was there, and he was very cordial to me, and you know, he's nice. He's not swearing at me anymore. so
that's a positive step, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a positive step, and you know, it looks good. We're not. I'm not going to make any announcements until you know it's actually happening, but it's in the works for sure.
Well, I would think, you know, with the recent success of so many marijuana-themed movies, the Harold and Kumar series, for example, I mean, the public would be just aching for that. I'm sure you guys would make a mint if there was a new Tommy Chong and Cheech movie.
Yeah, I have no doubt whatsoever, you know, that we would be doing very well.
All right. And, you know, looking back to your time in prison, you know, talking about this Operation Pipe Dreams, you spent 9 months in a federal correctional facility. What were some of the lessons that you took out of that, you know, being within the system like that?
Well, I it was a life-changing event for me. You know, first of all, I had to get reach into my spiritual bag. You know, that I'd always had with me, but I never really went there. You know, when you're a successful movie actor, you're kind of busy with the fame and the fortune. But it slowed me down enough to make me realize, you know, what's really important in life. And then I utilized the time to read a lot. And then I also wrote a book, you know, The I Chong. I wrote that in prison. And even the documentary, AKA, there's a film clip of me or a news clip of me talking about, you know, jail. And I said, well, you know, who's to say that jail's a bad thing? You know, you go to jail, you write a great book, you know. That's exactly what I did. And I was talking about that back in the 70s. So the prison thing really was, I would say without a doubt, without hesitation, that it was the single most important thing that's happened to me, to my life.
I imagine that being Tommy Chong in a prison might be a little bit of a different experience than just your average Joe Schmo in prison, though. The prisoners treat you good?
It was thrilling. You know, there were other celebrities in there, but they didn't want to be known. You know, they were in there for, you know, different offenses that they didn't want, you know, a lot of sports figures and so on, you know, that were in there. But they're hiding it, you know. They just went on vacation for a while. But I was a high profile, and so I had a lot of fans. I had the guards, you know. Guards were under orders not to associate with me or to take pictures with me or to treat me any different, but they did. I really made a lot of friends. I made a lot of lasting, you know, lifetime friendship, and it was a positive, great. I enjoyed it. I'll tell you the truth. I had one bad half hour. When I first went in there, you know, when I went to bed that night, you know, I went from a big, nice home in the Palisades to a little jail, bed, little cot. And that was the worst half hour. It was just a half hour. It lasted a half hour, and then, the spirit came into me, and I've been fine ever since.
Was there anyone there that gave you any sort of trouble? Was there any Sergeant Stadankos in the crowd?
There was one. He was Cambodian guard. In fact, I forget his name now. It's funny, but he was kind of mean. He was a pervert, you know, and he had hit on my wife and all the women, you know. He was kind of a sleaze bag, you know. And you get an idea what it would have been like if you're in jail over there, you know.
Yeah.
And so he was the only guy. All the rest, no problem.
Wow. So just to wrap things up here just a little bit, again, we're speaking with Tommy Chong, of course, and just looking at the overall philosophy here of our federal government, we've been, 37 years into this war on drugs, and regardless of whether we have Republicans or Democrats in office, we continue to see the escalation. I always point out to people that, Bill Clinton locked up more potheads than any other president. And what do you see as the end game here? Do you feel optimistic about our chances to end this drug war or have some positive reforms, at least within my lifetime?
Well, you got to remember, you're up against greedy capitalists. You know, you're up against imperialists. You know, people, in fact, they make King Midas. They're the King Midas of the world, you know, where everything they touch turns to gold. And the only trouble is when they touch food, it turns to gold. When they touch your kids, everything turns to gold. In other words, they're destroying themselves. And the truth is that we're in a society of yin and yang, you know, conflict. You need, like, every good drama needs conflict. And so, the saving grace of all this is the Constitution was written by potheads, people that were stoned on pot. They wrote it on pot, and it is upheld. It's survived. Everybody. It survived Nixon. It's surviving George Bush. And it's going to turn and bite George Bush on the butt. So what we're doing is we're shaking our Constitution. It's a tree, and we're shaking it and shaking it and shaking it, and it just withstands and is stronger than anything that you can throw at it, you know. And so the greed factor will eventually give way to the common sense factor. And so the drug laws, and what the drug laws have done, by the way, you know, the potheads that are in prison, they're the ones that are writing books, they're the ones that are making the prisons work well. They're going on with their life. They're like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela did 27 years in prison, came out to be the premier of the leader of South Africa. That's what's going to happen to America. You know, there's some brilliant potheads that are being locked up that are going to come out, and they have. And by the way, if it wasn't for pot, we wouldn't have computers.
How's that work out?
It's all good. It's all good, and all the bad is temporary, and that's what I learned in prison, and that's what people have to, keep in their heart, is that this Constitution, America, is stronger than the evil bastards that are trying to bring it down.
Wow, that's a beautiful sentiment, and I think we should go out on that one. And Tommy Chong, thanks for joining us on the Daily Audio Stash. What is the one thing that our listeners can do to help you out at this point with this whole Spectrum Labs bust and the AKA Tommy Chong movie?
What they can do is get on akatommychong.com and purchase the DVD, AKA Tommy Chong, and then have their friends do the same thing. And if everybody buys a copy, then we'll be like Barack Obama. You know, we'll be able to get a little contribution from everybody that listens, and then we'll use that money to make other product and eventually make pot not only legal, but eventually it'll be mandatory.
Well, we can hope so. Tommy Chong, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our audio stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a cannabis quote from Carl Sagan, the famous astronomer, physicist, and author. Quote, "The illegality of cannabis is outrageous, an impediment to full utilization of a drug which helps produce the serenity and insight, sensitivity and fellowship so desperately needed in this increasingly mad and dangerous world." End quote. Yes, Carl Sagan, the world-renowned physicist, the one of the smartest men ever, also a fan of cannabis. So much for that amotivational syndrome, or the stupid stoner stereotype. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here at the Daily Audio Stash. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week. Take care of each other, tokers.